Hi, this is Tatum, and I am going to finish our podcast on chapter 55, and we are going to end with Duchenne muscular dystrophy. So if you want to get out your PowerPoint slides, we'll start on slide 24. So Duchenne muscular dystrophy is probably the most severe, the most common muscular dystrophies in childhood. It does follow an X-linked inheritance pattern. And one-third of the cases result from very fresh mutations, which is quite interesting. The incidence is anywhere from 1 per 3,600 male births, meaning that the females are usually the carriers of this, and it will actually affect males. What is also interesting is that some of the female carriers may have an elevated creatinine kinase level. And if you think about what creatinine kinase is, we know that we usually draw creatinine kinase if we're suspecting, you know, some type of injury to the heart. But in muscular dystrophy, an elevated creatinine kinase level can also signify that there's damage to the muscles in the body. So female carriers may have an elevated creatinine kinase level. If you look at slide 25, it shows you a picture of the different muscle groups that can be affected by muscular dystrophy. So facial muscles, the chest muscles, the muscles of the buttocks and the lower extremities are all affected. So some of the different characteristics of muscular dystrophy, usually the onset is between ages 3 and 7 years of age. And a lot of times there's a delay in motor development, especially walking. Children may have difficulty running, riding a bike, or climbing stairs. And over time, it leads to progressive muscle weakness, wasting of muscles, as well as contractures, which is shortening of the muscle leading to deformities. Most of those calf muscles can be very enlarged or big, and we call those hypertrophic in nature. And it leads to progressive weakness in adolescence. And a lot of times death is due to respiratory and cardiac failure because of the weak or the weakened chest muscles. We worry about respiratory infections in these children, and we also worry about cardiac problems. So moving on to slide 27, diagnostics. A lot of times we can diagnose this as early as 12 weeks gestation. And a lot of times we use the blood polymerase chain reaction test. And really it's a blood test that checks for a specific mutation. It can also be confirmed with an electromyogram. An electromyogram really records muscle activity in the body. So at resting as well as with activity. And what you'll see with this electromyogram is a decreased amplitude and muscle contraction, showing us that there are weakened muscles in the body. Muscle biopsies can also be done. Muscle biopsies show degeneration of muscle fibers. And over time, those muscle fibers are replaced with fat and connective tissue. And then you'll also see an elevated serum enzyme measurement. So specifically creatinine kinase, again, a lot of times with the creatinine kinase, it's elevated when the muscle is being destroyed. So patients that have muscular dystrophy will have an elevated creatinine kinase level. Positive family history and display of the usual characteristics of the disease is also used in diagnosing this disorder. As far as the signs and symptoms that you'll see, most children will exhibit a waddling gait, and that's caused by just weakness of the gluteal muscles. They fall quite frequently, and they also display the Gower sign. And the Gower sign is a sign that you'll see when children are moving from a sitting to a standing position. And it shows us that the knee and the thigh muscles are fairly weak. And so the child will use their arms and their hands to actually climb up their thighs to assume a standing position. So that's a big characteristic of muscular dystrophy. It's called the Gower sign. Some children may exhibit lordosis, which is a result of weakened pelvic muscles, so it's kind of that sway back. You'll also see enlarged muscles, but keep in mind that the muscles themselves aren't stronger by any means. It just means that those muscles or those muscle fibers are being replaced with fat and connective tissue. So there's less and less protein available in those muscles. A lot of times the muscles are going to feel rubbery or soft in appearance. And as the disease progresses, you'll see muscular atrophy in later stages, or that muscle wasting. So this is the time where we really have to watch for contractures or deformities in the legs as well as the small joints of the body. As far as mental impairment, a lot of times children will be affected by moderate, you know, mental impairments. So learning programs as well as regular classroom schedules is really important just for that socialization. And some children may be obese just because they have that premature loss of ambulation. A lot of children cannot ambulate by the age of 12 and they're confined to a wheelchair. So if you just think about the loss of mobilization as a child over time with that, complications like osteoporosis, fractures, constipation, as well as skin breakdown are all something that we really have to think about and just be alert for in these children. We really need to educate families about how to combat some of those issues as well. As the disease progresses, like I said before, it can affect our respiratory muscles, including the diaphragm. And so these children really do have a high risk for just respiratory infections. And we know that respiratory compromise and cardiac failure are usually the causes of death in these children. As far as therapeutic management for muscular dystrophy, there is no identified effective treatment, but the primary goal is really aimed at maintaining functioning of unaffected muscles as long as possible, as well as preventing contractures. So things like exercises and really stretching and muscle strength and training is beneficial for these patients. Breathing exercises to help increase and maintain lung capacity is also something else that we recommend. Range of motion exercises. Sometimes a child will have surgery if there are contractures present. They may have to release those contractures. And braces are also worn just to help with stability. We want to keep the child as active as possible. And it's so important for genetic counseling for the family. So that could include parents, sisters, maternal aunts and daughters. All of those are people that really do need genetic counseling because it affects all of them. With complications associated with cardiac and respiratory problems, watch for the development of abnormal breathing patterns and hypoxia. Some children may need additional respiratory equipment used, like BiPAP. BiPAP stands for bilateral or bilevel positive airway pressure. So it uses that positive pressure to help keep the oxygen in the lungs. So it just helps them breathe easier. Tracheostomies may also be used in some severe cases if there is just airway obstruction present. Mechanically assisted coughing devices can also be used to help patients just cough up more and more sputum if they need to. So all of those are great resources to help combat some of those problems. As far as care management of muscular dystrophy, we use a multidisciplinary approach and try to keep all providers just informed of what's going on in the care of the child. It is a chronic progressive debilitating disease, so everybody has to be involved just to help prepare the child as well as family. It's important to design a program to foster independence and activity as long as possible. And that it really includes self-care. We want those children to be taking care of themselves as much as possible, to be independent as long as possible. We also want to teach the child self-help skills and also provide appropriate healthcare assistance to the child's needs. So as the needs progress and intensify, it's really important to be speaking with the family about other options such as home health, skilled nursing facilities, or even respite care for the family. Find out support groups and resources out in the community. The parents also need support groups as well. And so just finding those reliable support groups for them is really imperative. Because this disease progresses, we really do worry about social isolation, and that's something to be thinking about as far as education. Again, getting them involved as much as we can early on to establish those connections and try to create as normal of a life as we can for these children is really quite important. So that concludes my podcast on muscular dystrophy. Please let me know if you guys have any questions, and I hope you've enjoyed these podcasts. I hope you have a great weekend, and I will see you next week. Thanks so much.